peace and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. And good evening, St. Luke's. And a special word of welcome to any of our first-time friends tonight or regular guests. My name is Pastor Dan, and I'm new here. It's an honor to be with you tonight to get to share God's word, to take a moment out of our lives and pause together with one another to reflect on the holy, sacred events that transpired this week that we call Holy Week. When I was called to be pastor here, I received this piece of paper. It's called a Diploma of Vocation, and it's got a whole lot in it, and it sort of reads like a job description, but it's more of a commissioning for one who would fill this pastoral office. And it's got lines and lines and lines and lines of content, but it begins with these words: "In the name of the triune God, and by his authority, in order that we might carry out his mission to the world, we hereby authorize and obligate you to administer the word of God in its full truth and purity according to the sacred scriptures, and we hereby authorize and obligate you to administer the holy sacraments according to their divine institution." It goes on and on. There's a lot more to it than that, but that's really the heart of it. That's the heart of my calling here, is to proclaim and to bring the Word of God in the fullness of what he has to say and the full authority that Word of God carries with it, and to administer the holy sacraments according to their divine institution. A sacrament is one of those kind of church words. I don't know if you guys had to memorize about sacraments in your classes, and maybe they had mean quizzes with red markers if you didn't get it quite right. But a sacrament, it's a word that can kind of sound jargony, but it's a beautiful word. It's a rich word for us as the people of God. It's an important word. A sacrament is something that is instituted by God. It's attached to a visible element, something tangible, and it carries with it the promise of grace and forgiveness. A sacrament is something instituted by God. It's attached to a visible element, something tangible, and it carries with it the promise of grace and forgiveness. And when you read through the entirety of the scriptures, you find that there are two such sacraments in the Bible. Two things that have been instituted by God, attached to a visible element, something tangible, and they carry with them the promise of grace and forgiveness, and it's baptism, and it's the Lord's Supper. And tonight we join with Christians all around the world as we pause and remember and we reflect on Christ himself instituting this sacrament, setting before his disciples this sacred meal, this Lord's Supper. It goes by many names, right? Sometimes we call it the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion, the Eucharist, the sacrament of the altar. It goes by many names, reminding us of the many blessings and truths that God has for us in this holy meal. And what I'd like to do with the little bit of time we have together tonight is to reflect with you on this sacred meal that Jesus instituted. And I want to reflect on the significance of this meal by looking at but three cups, looking at three vessels, three chalices that sometimes are used to serve this sacred meal, so that as we reflect on this meal, guided by these three different cups, I pray that God would make his grace known and make his grace real and fresh for you. And so that the first cup tonight is a silver chalice. A silver chalice. A silver chalice reminds us how holy Holy Communion is. A silver chalice reminds us how holy communion is. Some churches, as they serve the blood of Christ in with and under that wine, they use a common cup, a single cup that's shared by all who would commune from that altar. And oftentimes when a church uses a common cup, it's an ornate cup. Oftentimes it's made out of a precious metal like silver or gold. Sometimes it's engraved with words in Latin or Greek, something unique from our everyday experience. Sometimes that common cup is even inlaid with precious stones. And like a fine china, it quickly communicates that something special is happening here. Something sacred is being set before you. This is no ordinary occasion. This is no ordinary meal. This is set apart. This is holy. And that's what the word holy means. It means to be set apart according to a special purpose, to be kept pure. A silver chalice reminds us how holy communion is. And so it comes that St. Paul in 1 Corinthians can speak a warning about the holiness of this meal. He says, therefore, whoever would eat of the bread and drink of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Therefore, let someone examine himself first and then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. See, this is a holy meal. Jesus himself, body and blood, is present in this meal. And how Jesus is present in, with, and under the bread and wine, I don't know. But he promises to be. And we take him at his word. And St. Paul, as he teaches about the Lord's Supper, he makes it clear that in this bread and wine, we are participating in the body and the blood of Jesus. This is a holy meal. And seeing communion served in a silver chalice reminds us of how holy communion is. And as someone who is unholy, as someone who has not lived a life that is set apart, as someone who has not lived a life that is pure in my thoughts and my words and my deeds, the holiness of this meal gives me pause. And it ought to give all of us pause. As St. Paul commands us to examine ourselves before coming forward to this holy meal, and as I examine myself, as I look at my motives or my words or my actions, I don't have to look too hard for too long to realize that even my best moments are tainted by deep unholiness. And it gives me pause to wonder how could someone as broken as me, as tainted as me, ever be welcome at a table as holy as this? And the word from Scripture for us tonight is this. That person is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. If you've ever wondered whether or not you are worthy to receive this meal, or maybe me pausing tonight and reminding you of the holiness of this meal has caused you to pause, and let me assure you tonight, that person is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. It is precisely our need for forgiveness. It is because of our unholiness that we gather in faith, trusting that through this meal, God gives us his own forgiveness. He gives us his holiness. And so the first cup tonight is a silver chalice. A silver chalice reminds us how holy communion is. And a ceramic earthenware cup reminds us how beautifully common this meal is. A ceramic earthenware cup reminds us how beautifully common this meal is. This chalice, this ceramic earthenware cup was used at the National Youth Gathering last summer. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has a National Youth Gathering every 3 years, and this chalice was used there. Back in 2016, some 25,000 teenagers and adult leaders descended upon the city of New Orleans for a week. And we had Bible studies and servant events and concerts and speakers, and we even had this massive worship service with everybody. And this worship service had happened in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, where the New Orleans Saints of all people play. I know. Not a holy place. And yet we had this worship service that was just full on. We had a processional cross, and we had a blaring organ and brass and strings and piano, and there were banners and liturgical dancers, and there were readings from Scripture and a sermon, and we even celebrated the Lord's Supper. Imagine the logistics of serving Holy Communion to 25,000 people. We had these communion distribution stations at like every section throughout the Superdome. And there were dozens upon dozens and dozens of these communion distribution stations thrown out the Superdome. And when it came time for communion, the people were ushered and they took and ate and they took and drank. And it only took about 25 minutes. Which is a little bit long, you'd think, but still, 25,000 people. We communed 25,000 people in 25 minutes, which means we communed 1,000 people a minute in the Superdome. Now, I keep this ceramic earthenware cup in my office, and it reminds me of how beautifully common this meal is. It reminds me that God's grace is for everyone. It is for the masses. It's for the thousands. It's for the millions. God brings his grace down. You do not have to ascend to some lofty mountaintop experience to receive the grace of God. No, God sends his grace down. God sent his Son in the flesh down to earth. God sends his grace down. It's not just on the mountains. It's down, down in the valleys. God sends his grace down in the shadows. God sends his grace down and down, even below sea level there at New Orleans, even in the Superdome where a bunch of Saints fans gather. I know. His grace is even for them. God sends his grace down to the masses, and he brings it in common bread, in common wine, attached to familiar words that are repeated week in and week out for centuries. His grace is not some expensive thing to be purchased by the religiously rich or the spiritually superior. He sends it down to the lowly, to the commoners, to normal people, broken people like us. And yet, just because God's grace is available and given to the most common and the most lowly, it does not mean it's cheap or inexpensive. No, for in that cup, the very life of Christ is given for the world. You see, Jesus is our Passover lamb, as Brian read for us earlier, that Passover of back in the Egypt. This is the fulfillment of that Passover lamb that God instituted millennia before Jesus walked on the earth. You see, God's people, the Israelites, were impoverished, and they were enslaved. They were the lowest among the low there in the land of Egypt, and God had a purpose and a plan to give them life and freedom, but Pharaoh stood in the way, and so God would strike down the firstborn throughout the land. But God would spare the lives of his people. You see, they were to sacrifice a lamb. They were to eat its flesh. They were to paint the doorposts of their homes with its blood. And when they did, the angel of the Lord would pass over. And so what happened on that first Passover night, 2 to 3 million Israelites, the lowest of the low, all communed together. It's for all. The firstborn was struck down, and the blood of the Lamb gave life. Jesus is that Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the firstborn, the unique, only begotten Son of God who gives life to the world. And so a silver chalice reminds us how holy Holy Communion is. A ceramic earthenware cup reminds us how beautifully common this meal is. And then there's this. When I became a pastor, my uncle, he made this for me. I know you can't see it. You can look later. He carved it. He hand-carved it out of wood. And to help keep it safe and protected, my mom sewed this together for me. This kind of velvet red bag keeps it safe. It's my travel communion kit. It's what I take with me when I bring the Lord's Supper to people's homes or to the hospital or to a care facility. And these are very dear to me. These are very special to me. They were made for me. They were given to me. And inside is the kind of communion cup that most of us are most familiar with. An individual plastic cup reminds us how personal this meal is. I was visiting Michael in his care facility. It was the first time I met Michael. He was probably in his mid-40s. And next to his bed, there was a picture of Michael looking not much younger than he was the day I met him, and there was a young man with him, maybe 12, 13 years old. And I asked Michael, I said, Michael, is that your son? Pastor Dan, he said. I don't know. See, Michael had an accident and a traumatic brain injury, and he couldn't remember things, and that was part of the reason he was in this care facility as a permanent resident. And so Michael and I, we visited, we talked, I shared a little scripture with him, and near the end of our time, I asked Michael, would you like to receive the Lord's Supper? And he said, yeah. And so I got out my hand-carved wooden box that my uncle made for me. And I took it out of the red velvety bag that my mom sewed for me, and I took that individual plastic cup, and I filled it with wine. And I honestly, I didn't know how much Michael understood of any of this. I didn't know if I should even be doing this, if he was tracking with me at all. And then I spoke the words of institution, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed. And tears of remembrance ran down his cheeks. He knew those words. He knew this meal was holy, and he knew it was for him. Moments before, he couldn't recognize his own son. But in this meal, he recognized the Son of God, who was his Savior. Take and eat the body of Christ for you. Take and drink the blood of Jesus for you. A silver chalice reminds us how holy Holy Communion is. A ceramic earthenware cup reminds us how beautifully common this meal is, and that individual plastic cup reminds us how personal this meal is. Now, the kind of cup it is doesn't convey any kind of magical properties. It doesn't change what's inside or what God is doing through this meal, but hopefully this evening as we reflect on these three different kinds of cups, I hope that they can remind you of what is true in this meal every time. It is a holy meal that is not to be taken lightly, through which God himself gives holiness to unholy people. And he accomplishes that through the ordinary, through common bread, through common wine, familiar words for all people. But Jesus didn't just die for everyone. He died for you. He didn't just die to save the whole world. He died to save you. He lives that you would have life in him, and he gives you that life every time we gather, every time we take, every time we drink. It's for you. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus in the flesh, for leaving that glorious throne to enter into a dark and broken world. We thank you that you give us holiness, that you would call all to yourself, and that we thank you, Lord, that you give that grace to individuals, as broken as us, as lost as us, and yet perfectly loved in you. Thank you for your perfect love, Jesus. Amen. And now receive the blessing of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace now and forevermore. Amen.